Well, once again, thank you for taking the time and being gathered here today. We've been in an ongoing series on the family that we're going to wrap up today. However, what we say today will not be the last word on the topic, just our conclusion for this season. They say that timing is everything, and I agree with that. I've timed this message to, we'll say, time out on a weekend with an all-important theme. Actually, there are two themes kind of running through this particular weekend. One of the themes is that it's President's Weekend. And besides the whole concept of the office of president and understanding that and honoring that here in America, we have a wonderful form of government, you know, based upon our Constitution and all those things. And so here it is, it's President's Weekend. But for me, just for me personally, President's Weekend just means that all the federal employees have Monday off with pay, which means that the rest of us taxpayers who are not federal employees, we get to pay for those days off. So there's that. We get to foot the bill. You know, I could probably turn that into a rant, but I won't do that. My timing is about the other important theme going on this weekend, which is Valentine's Day. This is Valentine's Day weekend. And Valentine's doesn't always fall on a weekend, but this year it does. And I think next year it'll be on Sunday, so we'll have a little repeat performance. So I hope that either on Friday, because a lot of times things will happen on Friday because maybe the Saturday, the day, Valentine's Day is a little too busy. But I hope that either on Friday or on Saturday yesterday, or maybe you're waiting till today because of work schedules and so forth, all of you that are madly in love, head over heels in love, that you'll get to express in some way, some memorable way, maybe cards, flowers, dinner out, or maybe some of you got something like this. It says, meet for you, F-U-R for you, and there's a picture of a well groomed, showered but not shaved Sasquatch on there. And of course, Jack Link's original beef jerky. Maybe you didn't get one of those. I did. And there was beef jerky inside of it, and it was delicious. But in some way, we get to express to the ones that we love, and I love you. Valentine's Day is about, and I love you. You say, well, what does that have to do with the family? Well, I want to take a few minutes this morning and wrap this series up talking with you about that very thing. We might let this question guide our discussion today, and the question goes like this: what's love got to do with it? And that's not the cynical version made popular, like I think it was like 42 years ago, back in 1984, by Tina Turner, who sang a song suggesting that love is just a secondhand emotion or a sweet old-fashioned notion, and who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? So I just apologize now. That song will probably be running around your brain for the rest of our time together today. But what's love got to do with the family? With the family? Well, we want to get into that. And so we're going to start where we began the sermon series with our text, which is Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. We'll go back to it one last time. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Find that in your Bibles. We'll put it up for you on the screen. Let's all stand to our feet together and let's read this verse of Scripture. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Please read with me. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Heavenly Father, today we're grateful for a time to gather, Lord, today. And of course, it runs in conjunction with Valentine's Day weekend. What an opportunity, Lord, for us to talk about that which the Bible so richly declares, and that is the topic of love. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for pouring out your extravagant love on us and sending your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for giving us access into your presence, for Lord, for the for the call to repent and turn from our sin and believe the gospel and receive that love of the truth so as to be saved. Lord, we're thankful today that we come to celebrate our salvation. A perfect picture of your love, Lord, to us. Go before us now, Holy Spirit, welcoming your presence. Help to teach us, guide, lead us into the truth of God's word. We'll be careful to thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Go ahead and be seated. While the verse there that we read, our text, doesn't actually have the word love in it, the question might be, how does anyone do what that says without love being the motivating, driving force? I mean, who would leave father and mother and get married and there remain with a wife or with the husband forever and ever, amen, happily ever after, without there being love in that mix? If not for love, you may say, well, what about arranged marriages? You know, there used to be a time when marriages were arranged. How about people marrying or coming together or tying the knot for other reasons, like maybe a tax break? You used to hear that. Well, we're getting married because we're going to get a tax break. Okay. Maybe out of empathy. Maybe for gold digging purposes, which I suppose you could make a case for. But those things are really not the rule. They're more the exception. They're not the orthodoxy, but maybe in some cases unorthodox. But they happen. And sometimes people actually find love after they tie the knot. We're not here today to necessarily talk about that, but just to mention it in passing. Despite of all the circumstances and other motivations bringing them together, sometimes it becomes a nightmare and it ends tragically. Or it ends in some prenuptial oversight courtroom scenario. And so forth. Then there are those whose circumstances forbid their love and their union, but it's a love that cannot be denied. Like Romeo and Juliet, right? Shakespeare made all that famous. And so out of all that, we might say there's the power of love. Huey Lewis in the News, 1985, The Power of Love, right? Another song. I'm not going to sing any of them. I might mention a few others today. Actually, anything you can say about love, there's more than likely a song title for it, a book title, a movie, some social media post gone viral, you name it. But I just want to talk with you for a few moments about love and the family because they're undeniable. They're indispensable, and by the grace of God, love and the family are indestructible. If we master all the terms and definitions, we've talked about some of them here in this sermon series, the terms and definitions. If we master them all, and if we adhere to the truths and directives for the same, but do it without love motivating all of that, then maybe there's something missing, not only in our lives, but possibly in our religion, in our faith, in our practice. Paul writes to that end in his first letter to the Corinthians. And we talked a little bit about 1 Corinthians 13 back in part 3 of the message. We're going to revisit it again today from a different angle. It's this chapter dedicated to the topic of love. And in my King James version of the Bible that I read from and preach from and study from and prepare from and spend a lot of time in, the word that we would use as love is the word charity. But they are the same words. You may be reading from another translation today. And in fact, I looked and almost every other translation uses the word charity save the King James. But they are the same words. Now, no less than 7 times in the opening 3 verses of 1 Corinthians 13 does Paul talk about things that are by themselves remarkable, even supernatural in scope, but that without charity or love in the equation, he reduces them and says that without love, they're nothing. He says that he's nothing without love. And of course, by implication, across time, without love, no matter who we are or what we're doing, things are diminished without love. Turn over there in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to kind of park there today and consider what Paul has to say here on this Valentine's weekend, here in this last segment of our sermon series on the family. I want to talk with you about love and the family. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal, just making some noise. Though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all the mysteries of God. Imagine understanding and having a grasp of all the mysteries that are out there. And all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I like to look at that list of seven things there and call them the alls. And wow, what a list there is there. You know, tongues and prophecy and mysteries and knowledge and so forth. If I do all of that and I don't have love, I'm nothing. Wow. In comparison to those things actually manifest themselves, that's saying a lot. That's a pretty high impact statement for Paul to make. Then he goes on to rattle off the enduring characteristics of love, starting there in verse 4 and really kind of going right down through to the end of the chapter. We'll get to those in a moment. And that list itself has some pretty big remarkabilities attached to it. And of course, there in the last verse of the chapter, he just summarizes it and he sets the bar, not only for himself. I don't think he's placing himself outside of what it says. I think he's placing himself right in squarely in what it says. And he sets that bar pretty high for himself, for his readers, but also for the rest of us. That bar extending across time to the here and now, especially to those of us who name the name of Jesus, to those of us that say he is our Lord and he's our Savior. And what does he say? And now abideth faith and hope and charity, the top three. But the greatest of these, number one on the chart, is love or is charity. When it's all been said and done, Belfast Revival 2002, when it's all been said and done, when the last word is spoken, the greatest of these three, faith, hope, and love, is love. Fitting that love is really the first thing, the enduring thing, the permanent thing, because it's also the first and greatest commandment given to us about how to approach God Almighty. How do I approach God Almighty? We ask in humility, in repentance, first in repentance and in belief, but how do I approach God Almighty? What is rightly relating to him look like? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's the vertical version of that picture. How do I approach the throne of grace? How do I approach the Lord? I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then horizontally spilled out from there into that place where the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus stating in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, if you want to just take a moment and flip over there with me, we'll come back to 1 Corinthians, but let's take a look at Matthew. Matthew recording Jesus being asked about the greatest commandment. And without hesitation, expresses what that is. Verse 37 of Matthew 22 says this. And Jesus said to them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Not leaving much out of that, not trying to squeeze out a little bit for something else, but in totality. This is the first and great commandment. And friends, it is a high and lofty commandment. That is also another high impact statement to us. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, all the authority of God's word. Everything that is, we'll say, that is captured within the word of God, its authority, its power, the law and the prophets. Does that mark our lives? Does love for God and for neighbor mark our lives? Does it mark our families? Well, we're thinking about that. We're talking about that. I'm preaching about that. Loving God is the bedrock cause for the effect of a life of love, where loving others and loving your family is hallmark, benchmark, and hitting the mark. If you're waiting for the feelings of love to jumpstart every time, every request, every requirement of love to come for you, if you're waiting for your feelings to jumpstart you, you need to get a new battery. Love is not a feeling. It's not a feeling meant to stand alone. There must be more. It's more than a feeling. Boston, their debut album, 1976. Sorry. Love is not a feeling. It's an act of the will. I want to leave you today looking at those enduring characteristics that are in this chapter. There are some enduring characteristics of love. Paul talks about, after kind of laying down the gauntlet of demanding that accomplishments are accompanied by love, because he listed all those accomplishments, tongues, knowledge, prophecies. I mean, you know, we pay high dividends to those who live in that world. We say live in that rarefied air. The prophets, you know, those that have this personal communication with God and have all knowledge and so forth is like, woo. But he says, you know, those accomplishments need to have an accompaniment of love with them. The list includes things like love or charity. Charity, as it says in the King James. And before we jump into it, friends, it's a lengthy list. It's not just a short list. It's not just a few suggestions and then let's move on. It's a pretty lengthy list. Well established. And that the mastery of it, understanding these things, is your ongoing and everyday assignment as a believer. They are not suggestions. They are assignments given. But just know that it will not happen overnight. This stuff doesn't happen in an instant. You know, that's one reason why in the wedding vows it says, till death do us part. Because, you know, marriage is a lifelong commitment, covenant, and contract. You know, to work, we'll say to work those things out. Work out the kinks. Get into the particulars of all of that. To love one another as the Lord has loved us. Till death do us part. It takes a lifetime of commitment to work out all those things. So regardless of where we are currently, what we're thinking in the moment, use your time wisely and learn the biggest secret, the secret of abiding love, and apply your heart, soul, mind, and strength to it. The first thing out of the chute, Because I wanted to say that. I wanted to preface this with what I just got done saying. The first thing out of the chute, it says that love is, or charity is, long-suffering. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. Charity suffereth long. You know, I've often wondered, is that why there are all the new versions use love, or rather use the word patience for the word long-suffering? Because, you know, the modern vernacular, it's easier to understand patience than it is to understand long-suffering. What is long-suffering? Just endless pain? Is love just ongoing pain? Perpetual pain? No. Love is patient. That puts a different spin on it, more of a, we'll say, our modern vernacular. Charity suffereth long. Again, to the modern ear, it sounds maybe more like punishment than it does like that, like patience. How many of you in one instance can say, I have passed the test of patience, but then in the next moment found that I need some remedial training? How about at home? You know, I'm patient with her, but I'm not nearly as patient with the kiddos as I could be. Or maybe it's vice versa. I'm really patient with the kids, but I'm not so patient with her or with him. In those moments when it can get a little tense, when you might say, I've got one nerve left and you're on it. Right? You ever felt like that? I got one nerve left and you're on it, mister. Young lady, Mrs. Mallory, or what, you know, whatever it might be, right? Or Mr. Mallory. Overcoming a lack of patience. Love is patient. Overcoming a lack of patience is often indicative of some spiritual need. Now, I could have broke down their spiritual problem and just thrown you into a tizzy, but a spiritual need. Dressed in some physicality. Something is going on in here, and I need more than I alone can provide. Something going on that needs the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe the Word of God prefaced by the Holy Spirit bringing it home, having its way. What only the Comforter can bring. Jesus told the disciples, guys, he says, I'm going to send you a Comforter. When he's come, he's going to guide you into all truth. Well, all truth, friends, will carry along with it the need for patience and so forth. In fact, when we read in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and, of course, in my King James says long suffering, but love, joy, peace, and patience. Patience. So that we might overcome and not be overwhelmed or overrun. Patience. Now, we could spend all day talking about patience, but you know what? I know that your patience might run out doing so, because we all have limits. Patience, but although I think you would agree, is something that everybody needs Holy Ghost revival for, right? We need Holy Ghost revival for patience, amongst other things. And right after we understand that, right on the heels of Paul saying love is patient, Paul wants us to go on and understand that love or charity is not only patient, but also it is kind. Kind. A little kindness goes a long way. So the question might be, what does it mean to be kind? And is that something that I have to do at home? Just kidding. There are times, though, when maybe in the home front, it might look strangely more like the battlefront, when we are with words doing damage and waging war. Why not try killing them metaphorically with kindness? How many of you heard that term? Kill them with kindness, right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Kindness can diffuse a whole host of situations before they go nuclear. It's the one action you can choose. You can choose kindness over the alternatives. You can choose. So choose kindness. As your pastor, I'm recommending that to you today. Choose kindness. It can diffuse a situation. It's the one action you can choose. It's the one tool that you can use out of the box that's greater and more profound than elevated and exasperated feelings. If I was to say, ask by show of hands, I won't, but how many of you have ever had elevated and exasperated feelings? And then how many times have those elevated and exasperated feelings really been more exaggerated? Ever done any exaggeration? You never. Kind of thing. That's more meddling than it is preaching, but there it is. There are times when I was a kid when I wanted to run off and join the circus because mom and dad were not letting me do what I wanted to do. And of course, so they no longer loved me. All the other kids were getting to do that thing. I wasn't. They said, no, not today. And no, not tomorrow. And probably no until you leave here and can support yourself. That's when I thought, well, maybe I can just run off and join the circus. Or something like that anyways. They were actually being kind, telling me no. Love is kind. It doesn't mean it's always filled with flowers and chocolates. There are times when it is and times when kind is really saying no. God is kind to us. In fact, one of the very great characteristics of God is his loving kindness. And there are times when God will say absolutely and positively, N-O. And he might say as well, not today, not tomorrow, not ever. You're just not getting it. Right? Love is kind. Sometimes it feels cruel. That's another song title. I'm not going there. Sometimes love hurts. Another song title. Everly Brothers, 1960. Nazareth, 1974. I don't have enough time today to go into any more song titles. Or to get through all of the things that are here on the list. Charity suffereth long, verse 4, and is kind. Now the gears shift here a little bit. And we get away from the alls and the amens and the pluses and the thumbs up and do these into the knots. You know, knots are hard. Literally. K-N-O-T-S. But the knots. There are eight of them. There are eight knots right in a row. Let's take a look at them. Charity or love envieth not. Charity or love vaunteth not itself. Charity or love is not puffed up. Charity or love doth not behave itself unseemingly. Charity or love seeketh not her own. Charity or love is not easily provoked. Charity or love thinketh no evil. Charity or love rejoiceth not in iniquity. I'm just calling them the knots. That's what love is not, regardless of how loudly it says it is. We all know, I've heard of instances where people stay in abusive situations, maybe physical or verbal abuse. And they say, well, I'm sticking it out for love's sake. Maybe you should rethink that. For a moment, before somebody really gets hurt. There's a lot of things that love is not. And this is a pretty hearty list here of the things that it's not. Again, this is not your assignment other than to say, stay away, flee from these things. However, And again, I could ask how many violators are here today. We won't do that. But probably all of us at some point or another have maybe our picture beside one of these things that are here. We can say, yeah, I've been down that road. Hopefully not all of them, but they're notable, if notorious is what you want to be. If the title you seek is bad actor, if the role you're auditioning for is bad actor, then this is the place to go. Let's translate it into the modern vernacular. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful, proud, rude, demanding, irritable, resentful. Love doesn't rejoice with wrongdoing. Now, I know for some that's going to take all the fun out of it. But at the same time, it might be letting all the air out of it as well. And you kind of notice, I don't know if you do, but I notice there's sort of a downward spiraling thing going on here. From jealousy to rejoicing in wrongdoing. That's moving down the scale, not up the scale. That's like where you're base jumping into the abyss of bad behavior. And what will that do to the family? What will any of these things do to the family? Not help. Not help. Hurt. Hurt. Family functions better on love than on anything else, even things calling itself love that are not, but are more like manipulation. But that's not it. That's not the totality of the thing. I appreciate the fact that Paul brings these things out and helps us to understand that there are these negative factors to be considered. But he doesn't just stop there. There at the end of verse 6, or the last part of verse 6, there's again another transition. We're transitioning now upward and onward. Love rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in truth. And then he goes on to say that it bears all things, it believeth all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Charity never fails. It's certainly true that you couldn't live back in those other six or eight things that are there between verses 4 and 6 for any long period of time without consequences and casualties. But those things are not what defines love. Those are things that more to define a sort of me, myself, and I attitude. You know, I'm part of a family, I am, but the family's not just about me. But if I make it that way, watch out. Paul warned Timothy that in the last days there would be, that men would be lovers of themselves. That's that sort of narcissistic, it's all about me. In this family, it's all about me. Okay, as we're packing our bags and walking out the door, I mean, it's crazy. Some of that stuff is crazy. But nevertheless, love in context in 1 Corinthians demands a coming to the end of you and embracing him. Well, let me mop it up here for you as quickly as we can. True love, overcoming love, the kind of love that puts families together, puts them on the map, is love where bearing, believing, hoping, and enduring is going on. And my question is this, bearing, believing, hoping, and enduring what? Because, you know, I don't know everyone's situation and everyone's dynamic, but I do know what the scriptures say. What does it say? It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And what part of all are we to leave out of that? What circumstance or situation we might find ourselves in that we'd say, that may be good for them, but that doesn't work over here. And that would make God's word suspect, and it's not. And so when I read all things, I have to assume that it means all things. And if I have some question about that, that means I need to dig in. I need to get into the throne room. I need to go to the Lord and ask him what that might mean here and now in this scenario. And be open to the Holy Spirit teaching all things. And if there was ever an answer in Scripture for us about the very nature of love, it would be there in verse 8. It never fails. It never fails. Why would we not in our families want to employ that, use that, take advantage of that? It does not fail. Charity never fails. You know, things do fail, though, in life. Our health fails. Our abilities fail. Sometimes finances fail. Winning streaks come to an end. And I could go on, but love never fails. The sooner the family gets on that horse and rides it, the sooner that they will know its power, the power of love. And I won't sing it for you. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you for your time today. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, Lord, today, you tell us to come boldly before your throne of grace to find grace and help in time of need. Well, Lord, today may be a time of need. This may be a moment by which your spirit has spoken. There's a time of need. Friend, if you're here today, I would start off and say, if you're here today, you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus came and gave his life and died to set you free from your sin and from yourself. And Lord, we thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for the scripture that says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The first and foremost, most important thing to get squared away and out of the way and settled is right standing with God. How am I to love the Lord my God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength when there's so many distractions around me? You need to come to Jesus to get a glimpse of what that begins to look like. So if you're here today, or if you're watching via today's live stream, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, never declared with your lips from your heart your need for him, repented of your sin and turned to him, then let today be that day. If you've settled those accounts and you're just thinking about the characteristics and the aspects of love and how things are currently going in your own situation, then the scripture does say, come boldly into the throne of grace where you may find grace and help in time of need. We sang earlier that song, Lord, I need you, I need you. Every hour I need you. There will not be an hour or a minute that won't be true. And so, Lord, today we need you to love that wife and that husband and those children. We need you to love one another. We need you, Lord, so that we can express love not only vertically, Lord, to you in growing, profound, deep, and abiding ways, but also across that horizontal spectrum. We need love, Lord, to take us from this house, Father, today and love the stranger, Lord. Love the neighbor. Love the community, the state, and the nation. Not loving what they're doing, Lord, but loving them in Jesus' name to be your ambassadors. Lord, we need love between the front and back doors of our home. Less battles, more beauty. Less pain, more power. All of those things, Lord, your word has answer for them. So, Father, today we're thankful to have availed ourselves to these moments. Holy Spirit, as you have taken these moments and are using them in the lives of your people, may you be glorified in our scattering. As we close with song, Lord, today, Maybe some would need to come and begin to just pray at this altar. Maybe you're praying for a situation. Maybe you're interceding on behalf of someone else, some other scenario that needs your prayers. Feel free to come. Feel free to network with others around you to pray that the love of God, that the love of the truth would permeate, because it's permanent. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.